Guided by his example, we walk the righteous path. In the footsteps of the prophet with faith and steadfast. In the footsteps of the prophet with faith and steadfast. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله My dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to another episode of our series In the Footsteps of the Prophet Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Wa Ala Alihi Wasallam. Now many blessings and virtues in sending salawat upon the greatest of all mankind, the peace of our hearts and our minds, the most generous and kind, the last and final Prophet and Messenger of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, Rasulullah Muhammad Mustafa Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Wa Ala Alihi Wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam has stated, "Man salla alayya salatan wahidatan sallallahu alayhi ashra," that he who recites salat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send 10 blessings upon that person. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. We must make it a regular habit of ours, a regular act of ours to send salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in abundance, because he's the greatest of all people, the greatest of all creation, with the greatest of all biographies, no doubt about it, with the greatest of all biographies, the biography, the life of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And that is what we shall be hearing about. Now previously, mashallah, we heard about a little from the life of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he was approximately at the age of 40 when he received the first revelation, and the first 3 or so years he was inviting people around him, those in his family, and then later the others too. He was instructed to invite people openly towards the beautiful, the blessed religion of Islam. And when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had invited others and people flocked towards Islam, yes, many people had begun to accept Islam, many noble people, many influential people had come towards Islam, this became and felt like the non-Muslims of Makkah al-Mukarramah, they were feeling now threatened, and they were worried that money which they possess, that influence which they have, yes, they will no longer be able to retain that influence. And this affected them. It was greed for the world many a time. And so they began to persecute and harm the Muslims. Yes, they persecuted Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself suffered and was subjected to this persecution, as were many of the other companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wasallam. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wasallam, although he was persecuted, although he was tormented, yet the people were not able to kill. They were not able to kill, and they did not try at that time to kill the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, later they did, but at that time they could not. Why? Because Abu Talib, the uncle of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was protecting the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this was a sense of pride too, that he's from our tribe. He's from the Banu Hashim. Being from this tribe was enough for the tribe members to go to war with others. Even people like Abu Lahab, who was from the same tribe, even he would go to war with others if they attempted to come and fight the Messenger, or to kill the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, although he himself was one of the greatest enemies of Islam. So it's not due to his religion or due to his beliefs, but it's because of that sense of pride that they had. And this was the reason why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had, you could say, like a visa. He had that sense of protection. And so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was, you could say, safe to an extent. And of course, he was protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas many other people, they were not in the same situation. They were not protected by the leaders of their tribes. They were suffering. They were being persecuted, they were being tormented, they were being terrorized. And so, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he saw that some people, they were not able to protect them, they were not part of a tribe, they were former slaves possibly, Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala alam. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon assessing the situation, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he gave the companions permission to now leave the land. To leave the land and to migrate elsewhere. Where to migrate? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew that if the Muslims were to migrate, and this was the very first migration. He knew that if the Muslims were to migrate, then the people of Makkah al-Mukarramah would come after them. And so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he instructs them to migrate to Abyssinia. And the people, they begin to migrate, the companions, they migrate to Abyssinia because Abyssinia was strong. There was a king there. It was a land which was known for its justice. Yes, it was known to be a just land. And the people of Abyssinia, they were the descendants of Habash. And this is why we call them Habashi. This was the place. Now, Abyssinia nowadays is known as Ethiopia. It's no longer known as Abyssinia, but now known as Ethiopia. But previously, this was called Abyssinia during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, that, look, you are being persecuted. This is what the polytheists are doing to you. This is how they're harming you. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they cannot protect them. So he says, why don't you go to Syria? For in Syria there is a king who doesn't oppress anybody. Yes? And it's a land of truth, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says. And there you will find relief from what it is you are experiencing. This torment, this difficulty you are going through. If you were to go there, you will find ease, inshallah wa azza wa jal. So this is where they went, due to fear of persecution and to seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with others. They then travel and they migrate. Now, migration is not something which is minor. Migration is not something which is easy. Even in this very day and age, it is very, very difficult to migrate. And at that time, it was, you can say, 100 times much more difficult. It was much more difficult to migrate in that day and age. So it was the month of Rajab. It was the fifth year after the first revelation, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sends. So they leave from Makkah al-Mukarramah. They left from Makkah al-Mukarramah on foot. Some of them had rode, and they went towards the ocean. They went towards the sea, and Allah subhanahu wa taala made it and intended such. As soon as they were to arrive, there were other businessmen. There were other traders who also wished to travel at the same time. So it was perfect timing. And they went either on one single boat individually, according to some, or they joined and they separated into two boats. And they then went across the sea. The Meccans, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had thought, of course he was a prophet, he had knowledge of the unseen, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had wished to bestow upon him. And so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as he had foresaw, the people of Makkah al-Mukarramah, they came and they wished to pursue the companions who had left for Abyssinia, but they did not get there in time. So each companion, they are now on the ship, they pay possibly half a dinar, and they come towards Abyssinia. When they reach Abyssinia, and these are the first migrants of Islam, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the first to migrate after the family of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, and the companions, the first companions to migrate within Islam, when they go to Abyssinia, they arrive there and feel very, very safe there. And they say that, you know, we found protection, We were protected, our religion was protected, we could worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we were not being harmed whatsoever, nobody was hurting them, people would sometimes even listen to them, nobody disliked what they said, and sometimes people would also accept the beautiful religion of Islam. When the people of Makkah al-Mukarramah had discovered that they are safe now in Abyssinia, they thought, we need to do something about this. We cannot allow them to go and gain even the favor of Najashi, who was the king of Abyssinia. So what they do is they send two people. One person that they send is Amr ibn al-As, who was a Qurayshi from the Banu Saham, one of the nobles of Makkah al-Mukarramah, the son of al-As ibn Wa'il, who was one of the greatest enemies of Islam. But Amr ibn al-As, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he later accepts Islam. He goes, but at this moment in time, he was of course against the Muslims. He goes along with Abdullah ibn Abi Rabi'ah, who also later accepts Islam from the Banu Makhzum of Makkah al-Mukarramah. Now, these two people, they travel to Habsha behind them. And what they do is very, very clever, very shrewd, but at the same time, very, very clever. What Abdullah ibn Abi Rabi'ah and Amr ibn al-As, they go to Abyssinia, but they don't go alone. They take with them many, many gifts and presents. Yes, they bring from their own land various gifts, whether that's animal skin, whether that's even gold sometimes, whether that's hide, whatever it may be, from Makkah al-Mukarramah, and they bring it to Abyssinia. The leader of Abyssinia was al-Najashi, just as the Turks, they call their people Kagan, or their leader was called Kagan. The Romans had the Caesar. In Yemen, the king, the title of the king was Tubba. Yes, the Greeks have their own, the others have their own, like Nimrud, who was the head of the Sabians, Ya'fur for the Hindus, the Zagana for the Zanj. In Egypt, they had the pharaohs. Yes, in Syria, some would call them the Aziz. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala alam. But these were all titles. So similarly, the Abyssinian king, he's known very, very famously as Najashi. And Najashi was a Christian man. He was amongst the true followers of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. He was a religious man. And Najashi radiallahu anhu is that individual or the first king to accept Islam. Sayyidina Najashi radiallahu anhu, yes, he was a king of all the people and he later accepts Islam. He's amongst the first of the people to accept Islam. If you look at it overall, yes, he's one of the earlier companions, but never met the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And so some would class him as a tabi'i. So Al-Amr ibn al-As as well as Abdullah ibn Abi Rabi'ah, they come towards Najashi, towards Abyssinia with all of these presents and all of these gifts. And they're very, very intelligent. Amr ibn al-As, what he does is he says, okay, let's first not meet Najashi yet, but let's go meet each general. So this is what they do. They first go and meet each general. And they say to the general, look, this is our situation in Makkah. These were our people, but this is what they have done within Makkah al-Mukarramah. They have split one person from another, a brother from another fellow brother, and they have brought us harm. So we will come before your king. Yes, we will come before your king. Please support us. These people, they are foolish. They have come and taken a refuge in your country and they have forsaken their religion. They have brought harm. They've invented their own religion. They say this and this and this about your religion. Yes. And our people, our nobles, the leaders of our tribe, they sent us here to come and take them back because we need to deliver justice. We need to deliver them to the nobles of Makkah al-Mukarramah. So the generals, when they hear this, and also along with this, when they receive all of these gifts and all of these presents, then what do these generals do? The generals say, okay, don't worry. Tomorrow, when you come before the king, then we will support you. When they came into the court of Najashi, they brought their gifts, their many, many gifts, their many, many presents to gain the favor of Najashi himself. So they brought and they gave all of these and would even bow down before the king. And then they said to the king, as they had said previously to the generals, that these foolish people who have come from Arabia, they have come from Mecca, they have caused us harm there. Now they're coming and wishing to cause harm in your country. Allow us to take them back to our country. Our leaders have sent us to hand them back to the leaders of Mecca al-Mukarramah. But one thing they were very, very worried about was they did not wish for the king to speak to those people. They did not wish to call the Muslims, no. They just wished to gain the order of the king, to gain the permission of the king, to take those people, and then to capture those people and take them. But what happened was, Najashi, or Negus, we would say in English, Najashi, he listens to their cry, to their plight, and upon them having finished, some of the generals, they say, "O king, yes, you should send them away. Yes, we agree, send them away." But Najashi, he was a pious person, even from the beginning. He was very, very pious. And when he heard this, he actually became enraged. And he says that, "No, by God, I will not surrender them. No people who have sought my protection, they have settled in my country, they have chosen me over others. How can I betray them? Until I call them here, until I summon them, and I ask them about what has transpired, or about what has happened, about what these two men are saying about them, what they allege. Yes, until I've asked them, I cannot give them away. If these two are telling the truth, I will send them away. But if those two people are lying, if what they are saying is false, then I will protect those people. They will receive my kindness, my hospitality, my proper hospitality, and they will be under my protection." And so he calls the Muslims, he calls the companions of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. When he calls them and they receive the message that he has called for them, they become worried. Of course, all of the officers would have come and they would have no option but to go. But now they're speaking to themselves. And they say to themselves, that what will we say to Najashi? He's called us, what are we going to say to him? And then one says, "Look, we will say what the Prophet ﷺ told us, what the Messenger of Allah ﷺ has commanded. Whatever happens, happens. It doesn't matter to us. We will say whatever we need to say." And then when they came to the royal presence of the king, they found that the king wasn't there alone, but rather the king had called his bishops, his Christian leaders too. And they had also gathered their manuscripts. They had also gathered their religious and their sacred books. These were all placed around Najashi. And this is when he asked the Muslims what the religion for which they had forsaken their own people, for which they had left their own people. And they've also not accepted his religion. So they've left their religion. They've come to his land. They've not accepted his religion, Christianity. Yes, they've not accepted his religion. And they've come about with a new religion. He says, "What is this religion about?" And this is when Sayyidina Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the son of Abu Talib, the brother of Sayyidina Ali, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, this is when he replies. And he gives a beautiful message. And he says, "O king, we were uncivilized people. We used to worship idols. We used to eat the dead. We used to commit all sorts of abominations. We used to break ties. We used to treat our guests badly. You know, we would, the strong of us would devour our weak. And so what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us a prophet, a messenger, his last and final messenger. His lineage we know, his truthfulness we know. We know about he's known as As-Sadiq, he's truthful. We know him as Al-Amin, he's the trustworthy. And he invites us to come and acknowledge the unity, come and acknowledge the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and nobody else. To not associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To renounce our belief of other idols, gods, stones, images, all of these things which we formerly and our forefathers had also believed and worshipped. No, he commanded us to always be truthful, to be faithful to our promises, of our promises, to be mindful of our kingship, our ties, to be hospitable to our guests, to stay away from bloodshed, to not kill people, not harm people, to refrain from speaking lies, to not take the property of orphans, to not vilify chaste women. He commands us to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, to not associate any partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he told us about prayer, to give charity, to fast. Yes, he told us all of these different commandments he gave us. And we accepted his religion. And we believe in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we follow the message which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has brought to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We only worship one God alone, and we do not associate any partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had forbidden, whatever he had forbade, we consider that to be forbidden. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had declared lawful, we consider that to be lawful. We've not harmed anybody. We didn't do anything wrong. Well, what have we done? We've not hurt nobody. But when we declare this openly, then those people, these people, their families, their people, the leaders of Makkah, what did they do? They began to treat us harshly. They began to persecute and torment us. And they tried to take us away from our faith, take us away from our iman, to go back to worshipping idols instead of worshipping the one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what they are telling us to do. And then they would harm us. Yes, they would try to, and they have killed some of our people. And we came to your country, O King. We came to your country and we chose your country above all the others. We chose yours because you are a just king. And we are happy to be in your protection. And we hope that we will not be treated harshly, but you will grant us justice. Allahu Akbar. That with you, O King, we hope that we will be granted justice. Then Najashi, he says, okay, tell me more about this religion. You know, what is it that has been sent to your prophet? He has a religious book. Tell us, read some from there. And Sayyidina Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he begins to read some of the glorious Quran from Surah Maryam. When he would recite these verses, Najashi, he came to tears. The bishops around him also came to tears. It said there were so many tears that the scrolls had with them, they became wet. Allahu Akbar. That those scrolls became moist. And then he says that this religion which you have brought, as well as that which Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam has brought, yes, that they are of the same religion. This is what Najashi states. And remember, this is very, very important, my dear viewers. Our religion is not the religion of Christianity. No. Our religion, we believe in Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Yes, and we believe in his true religion which he brought to the people. But when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, then that previous message is no longer valid for us. We believe in that. Whatever he's given in the true Bible, which was given to Sayyidina Isa, we believe in that. But that religion now has been abrogated. And the last and final testament, the last and final religion, and the last and final book is Al-Quran Al-Kareem. The message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is given to his messenger, the message of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My dear viewers, we're having to stop this story short there. But inshallah, in the next episode, we shall complete this. Recap it and complete it, and inshallah will continue with the biography of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam. The name of the series is In the Footsteps of the Prophet. Please do try to regularly watch, and inshallah may Allah ta'ala allow us to learn more and increase our love for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam.
Guided by his example, we walk the righteous path. In the footsteps of the Prophet with faith and steadfast. In the footsteps of the Prophet with faith and steadfast.